If you grew up in Kansas City and spent any time on Troost, you probably remember the old Wonder Hostess Thrift Shop Bakery. It was an institution, a place to buy day-old bread and discounted fruit pies. That old bakery outlet has been shuttered and closed for years, and now a business that couldn't be more different in a lot of ways has moved into that spot, a fresh juice place serving up kale where there used to be Twinkies. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR Central Standard, and we're going to start today's food show by going with KCUR's Michelle Tyreen Johnson to get the story.
Up until about 10 years ago, when a customer entered this building on the corner of 30th and Troost, there was nothing visually special about shelves lined with day-old bread and pastries. Simeon Taylor remembers.
Even though the bread and snacks were available, those weren't healthy options. You know, it was just, you had $10, need to stretch $10, you can come here, get a gallon of milk for $2, get two loaves of bread for $1, and you know, kind of make that thing stretch for a while.
But now, Taylor is a customer of Ruby Jean's Kitchen and Juicery, which sits in the same location as the former thrift store bakery. Entering the building now, customers are met with the sensory feast of bright colors and a huge hanging menu featuring juices, smoothies, and meals with the backdrop of neo-soul music pumping from the speakers and juicers turning fresh fruits and vegetables into tasty drinks. Samara Crawford Herrera, who works at the Kansas City Public Schools across the street, thinks this is a good addition to an area that has been underserved and underestimated.
I am new to Kansas City, so traditionally everything that I had heard about the area was around food deserts, around it being kind of a no man's land.
At the old Hostess location, visitors were familiar with how Twinkies and Zingers would taste. Here, the battle walking in the door is not knowing what to expect from a green dream smoothie or a vegan black-eyed pea burger. Nicole Collier-White knows that concern.
It's not scary. It does taste good. It just gives you multiple options.
Ruby Jean's attracts people from the big workforces, like KCPS, and it attracts newer residents of the neighborhood. Owner Chris Good knows his challenge is getting the longtime residents of the area, some of whom are low income, to feel comfortable paying $7 or more for a juice or a meal.
Because they'll come in and think, I think at the onset, they're just thinking, okay, it's food. I'm probably going to be able to go in here and get some chicken fingers, a burger, some fries. And then when they start looking at the menu, it's like, wait a minute, what is this? You talking about some kale? What?
And speaking to some older residents in the area, there are those who have not stopped by because they feel they don't have the budget or taste buds for Ruby Jean's. Groovy Grant has a different opinion. Although he hasn't made it over to Ruby Jean's yet, he has lived in the area since 1964 and sees this business as a throwback to when local black businesses were more prominent in the neighborhood. He thinks younger residents will embrace this experience.
Experience of actually going right in your neighborhood where you live at, in order to purchase a product, you know, when you start going across town to the grocery store, going down the street, you know, you can go down the street and purchase whatever you need in your block.
Owner Chris Good said that he has several ideas about how to get more residents to give Ruby Jean's a chance, such as having events to give away freebies and making the business EBT eligible so that residents on a fixed income can indulge in healthier choices. Good is particularly motivated by that because of his grandmother, the original Ruby Jean.
She ate soul food literally every day, all day, for her entire life. And she never got in. She never had a smoothie. Never. Never had a juice. You know, never. If she ate salad, it wasn't really salad.
This is Ruby Jean's fourth location. But Good said the Troost location is special because it was the area his grandmother worked and spent time in before passing away at the age of 61 from diabetes.
And to think that her face is, you know, the branding of our entire business, and especially on Truce, for something that's never been done in a food desert, I think she would be proud. I think she would be emotional, and I think she would probably be very, very shy.
This area of Truce has seen a pop in development in recent years, which includes the old Wonder Bread Bakery across the street from Ruby Jean's, opening as lofts later this year. Good knows some might consider him a gentrifier, but as a young black man with roots in the community, Good wants Ruby Jean's to be looked at as a positive addition. He wants the restaurant, with his grandmother's name and face on the building, to have a healthy focus in more ways than one.
It's a melting pot. And it doesn't, you know, it don't feel like we're in a divided country right now. It doesn't feel like race relations and tensions are as high as they are when you walk in Ruby Jean's Kitchen and Juicery on Truce. It feels like home.
The Hostess thrift store was an institution back in the day. Ruby Jean's aims to create its own place in Truce history.
That was KCUR's Michelle Tyrene Johnson. She stopped by Ruby Jean's Kitchen and Juicery. And so Truce is changing, or so it seems, and food is a part of that transformation. Ruby Jean's is one of a handful of new places on a street with, as we heard, a notorious history as a racial divide. So before our food critics join us to talk breakfast, we thought we'd hear from someone with his own history in the neighborhood about the new places to eat on Troost. Kemet Coleman is a rapper with the Fantastics. He's also an urbanist, and he's here with us now. Hi, Kemet.
How's it going? Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you, too. How does Troost figure into your personal history?
Well, I was born and raised on Troost. I was born on 75th and Troost. I've lived at least three or four places within walking distance, or, you know, a block or two of Troost throughout my life. And I continue to live east of Troost today.
So tell me about some of the restaurants on Troost that you frequent right now.
Well, I go to Urban Cafe on a weekly basis, probably. They've
been around, what, a couple of years, maybe?
Yeah, probably about 2 years. I'm lactose intolerant, and I'm also allergic to fish. And so they have a lot of options for me.
Tell us about Urban Cafe, like for someone who's never been there.
Urban Cafe is next to a beauty salon. And I think one of the owners of Urban Cafe is also one of the owners of the beauty salon. But so you walk into Urban Cafe, it's a pretty basic, humble layout. And they have their, you know, menu on the board and all handwritten. And you can order really healthy options for the most part. I believe they're mostly organic and local when possible. And yeah, you can modify it however you want, but they have great breakfast options and lunch options as well.
So any place else you want to draw our attention to?
Yeah, there's actually a new place that just came on my radar a few days ago called Fanny's African Cuisine, and it's literally next door to Ruby Jean's. And I haven't been in yet, but it looks nice, you know, just a sit-down restaurant.
So. Well, if you want to chime in, you can give us a call. If you've tried any of the new restaurants on Troost, we'd love to hear your reviews. 816-235-2888. Kemet, what does it mean to you to see not just new restaurants popping up, but as we heard, Black-owned restaurants emphasizing health food?
I think it's awesome. I think it's Troost is definitely a great opportunity and a place for businesses like this to succeed, more so than, you know, almost anywhere else in the city or the country, really, just given the history of you know, Troost as a racial geographic divide, psychological one, and a literal one. So yeah, it's definitely great to see my friend Chris Good opening up Ruby Jean's, not only on Troost but across the city. And I think Troost could be the progenitor of places like this to not only have a landmark on Troost but across the city and the world.
Tell me about the Troost you grew up on, though, a little bit more. I mean, does it feel really different to you to be seeing places like this, or is it a natural progression?
A little bit of both. But yeah, it's definitely a stark contrast from when I grew up, you know.
Cause, yeah, paint that picture for me.
Yeah, so I grew up around 75th and Troost. And if you can picture that corner, there's the Epicurean, which is a dance club and restaurant lounge for middle-aged African-Americans. It's the heart and soul of the two-step scene here in Kansas City as well. But there's a gas station, there's a post office, and across the street there's the Metro stop. So I grew up around there, and close to there is Jamaican G's Cuisine, which is a Jamaican restaurant that's owned by one of my friend's uncles. And very interesting place. I used to actually DJ there in my early music days, and they have a really huge sound system. Jamaican G's was definitely a stop. There's also a Chinese restaurant that's next door I used to go to after church. I'm not sure if it's still there, but yeah, so, you know, and close there is the Landing as well. And around there you've got you know, Popeyes, McDonald's. So it's definitely different to see a lot of the more healthy options coming online. But now you've got Niecy's there on, that's just past Meyer in Truce. And it's where an old Pizza Hut used to be. I used to definitely go to that Pizza Hut a lot when I used to get like the box tops or I don't know, back in the day. And it's next to Aldi, which is where we used to get our groceries. So anyway, that Niecy's is one of my favorite restaurants. It used to be, the original location was on Prospect, and they moved to Troost about 10 years ago. And I used to eat breakfast there on a daily, if not daily, a weekly basis.
So tell us about Niecy's, like, for the uninitiated. It's a soul food restaurant.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, Niecy's definitely a soul food restaurant. They used to have a couple locations, one in Raytown, but now I think the only one is here on Troost. And, yeah, it's definitely home-style, southern-style soul food. And you can get everything from neck bones to ham hocks to collard greens to fried chicken to meatloaf. Everything is great. Their breakfast is amazing. I don't know where they get their sausage from or if they make it in-house, but definitely one of the best sausages you can have in town.
So, like, this range of food options from southern-style soul food to now, like, fresh juices and what were we hearing, like, pea burgers?
Yeah, black-eyed pea.
That's quite a range of options now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, it's great to have those options, especially because, you know, even when I lived on Armour in Troost about almost 8 years ago, you know, the options I had were, like, Cluckers fried chicken, and that was it, you know? It was like in walking distance at least. And so now if I lived at Armour and Truce, I could walk to Ruby Jean's and Urban Cafe. And the Max line is very helpful in, you know, kind of navigating all that.
Let's talk to, we have a caller, Tam in Midtown, who wants to talk to us about the restaurants on Truce. Hi, Tam.
Hi. We've lived 17 years, half a block east of Truce, and so we eat at restaurants all up and down. My favorite is Niecy's. We started eating at Niecy's when she was over on Paseo, and then they moved to about 65th and Truce, and we eat there at least once a week for breakfast, but they have wonderful cuisine, and it's a very friendly restaurant, and it's African-American owned, so that we enjoy that too.
So there's another shout out to Niecy's from Tam in Midtown. You know, Kemet, you are directly involved in some of the other changes coming to Troost, mm-hmm. not necessarily food related, but through something called the Troost Market Collective. What is that?
Yeah, so I am a board member of the Troost Market Collective, and the Troost Market Collective is a nonprofit that is trying to push an effort to create maker spaces on Troost, and maker spaces that are, you know, not your typical, you know, maker spaces, but for anybody that wants to make things, whether that's music, whether that's jewelry, whether that's food. And they partner with Clemens Real Estate to transform some of the really cool old classic buildings on the 3100 block of Troost into those maker spaces.
On the website, there's a historic black and white photo of Troost that sort of blends into a color photo that envisions a Troost of the near future, I'm going to say, mm-hmm. with people of different races sort of skipping along. Do you consider what's happening on Troost right now a revival of the past or a break from it?
I think it's a revival in the sense that, you know, enterprise is coming back to Troost. I think it's a break from the past, more so because it's just we're in unexplored territory right now. I think a lot of very often thrown out there word is gentrification, and that's, you know, we just got to face it. That is what's happening on Troost, but this is an opportunity to do it the right way, if that's possible. And I think you know, when you look around the country, there's not really a good example of it. And so I think Truce has that ability to do that, especially with cats like Chris Good and the
Truce. What does it mean to you to do it the right way?
Well, I think it's to do it in a way that is not focused on financial models from someone that lives in California that wants to swoop in and take over. I think it's an opportunity for Truce to be homegrown, you know, east and west of Truce, and create enterprises in a way that are equitable and approachable and fair and cool at the same time.
So we're about to start talking about breakfast in Kansas City. And you mentioned that you go to Niecy's for breakfast, and you said that they've got the best sausage you can get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
What about, I mean, you've also mentioned that you go to Urban Cafe a lot. What do you get there for breakfast?
Urban Cafe, I get their smoothie bowl. It's really amazing. I don't know exactly what's in it, but I'm like I said, I'm lactose intolerant, and they have, it's a vegan option, but it tastes like there's like yogurt, there's fruit, there's oats. It's just a really good, option, and definitely sets me on a good course for the day.
Okay, Kemet Coleman of the Fantastics and the board of the Troost Market Collective, thank you so much for your reviews of the Troost restaurants.
Thanks for having me.
In just a minute, the food critics will be here to help us find the best breakfasts in town. If you are a breakfast lover, please call in and tell us where you go. For eggs and coffee, maybe a little biscuits and gravy, even a smoothie bowl, and just the right ambiance for reading the morning paper. 816-235-2888. I'm Gina Kaufman. We're back, and it is not too late for breakfast on KCUR's Central Standard. Call 816-235-2888 to tell us where you like to go for the most important meal of the day. Have you found the perfect poached eggs, a divine bowl of oatmeal, French toast you can't replicate at home, or maybe just a great ambiance for sipping your coffee and reading the morning paper? 816-235-2888. And I know there are a lot of breakfast fanatics out there, so we want to hear from you. I'm Gina Kaufman, and this morning's food critics are Bon Juingli and Mary Block. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Has the breakfast scene in Kansas City changed over the years?
I think so. I think people are going out more for breakfast. And I think part of the reason it's changing is because coffee is such a big thing now. And you have to have something to eat with your coffee.
Yeah, it helps. Also, you know, you can't make the latte at home. I mean, some people can, but most of us can't.
I can't.
You both travel a lot, so how do you think Kansas City fares by comparison as a breakfast town?
Well, I think we're doing all right now. Like Mary says, I think coffee is a huge part of that. I actually just got back from breakfast with some guests from out of town, and we went out to Messenger Coffee, which is a great place for coffee and breakfast. And what I love about it is they have hot food as well as pastries. So it's not just, you know, it's not just a croissant and coffee. We had biscuits and gravy. We had, you know, you can get eggs there. So, yeah, I think we're doing all right.
Mary?
I love Messenger Coffee and Ibis Bakery. And as you say, you can sit down, have your breakfast, have your coffee. I take my iPad, read the paper. But I love the breakfast there because they use their breads in a lot of their dishes. And so you can get a tartine with bacon and eggs. And as Bon Juingli said, the biscuits and gravy aren't so bad either.
And you can also get it to go, too. So it's, if you're on the go and you got to get to work or somewhere else, you can just get a pastry to go, or you can actually sit down, like she said, and kind of enjoy it.
And so we should say that Ibis Bakery is in Messenger Coffee. That's in the Crossroads. Mary, you were just mentioning a bacon tartine. So that brings me to my next question, which is, are there breakfast trends right now, like big overarching trends that we should talk about before we launch into too many of our reviews? I mean, in recent years, I'd say the word toast has taken on new meaning.
Especially avocado toast, mm-hmm. which you can also find at the Messenger Ibis Bakery, yeah.
I do think toasts are a big thing.
So explain that.
Well, if you get a place that has good bread like Ibis, and then they toast it, and you can, you know, the sky's the limit in terms of your creativity.
Just like toppings.
Toppings. The avocado toast with or without an egg on top. They do a squash there, I think, a puree, and typically topped with an egg.
I think there's been a resurgence of well, maybe not a resurgence, maybe the discovery of great bread making in the United States in over the past decade or so. You know, people like Tartine Bakery in San Francisco and a lot of, and so the craft of bread making, I think, has really sort of blossomed in the United States, and now I think that's why
We have bread making and coffee making to thank for our improved breakfasts in Kansas City.
I think so.
I do too.
That's driving a lot of it, you know. And then places like Monarch, which is a coffee shop here in Kansas City, they're getting their croissants and pastries from 1900 Barker, which I think I've mentioned on the show before, out in Lawrence, Kansas, where Taylor Petron is baking great breads and pastries as well.
So it's the pastries are not an afterthought.
Not anymore, thankfully.
Well, so, okay, let's go back to this bacon tartine that you mentioned, Mary. What is a bacon tartine?
Well, I think these days anything with toast and something on it, they're calling a tartine, where you'd pick up your knife and fork and eat it.
Open-faced.
Open-faced, yep, and very civilized. And that anything that you put on top of that toast is considered a tartine these days.
So it's toast with bacon?
And yeah, so this is just bacon and then and sometimes bacon jam, which is a nice plus, and then the egg on top.
And traditionally, a tartine is more of a dressed topping so that the juices kind of get down into the bread, and then you can, you know, makes the bread kind of sop it up and tasty.
And that's the role the yolk plays.
Oh, okay. So we've heard a lot about Messenger Ibis Bakery, but let's back up and start with some classics. Let's say you're just in the mood for eggs and toast, maybe a little bacon, traditional breakfast joint kind of atmosphere. Where do you go?
Well, now I would go to Rye Plaza. You know, there are two locations of Rye, one in Leawood and one on the Plaza, and they just opened for breakfast. Actually, they just opened not too long ago, but they now have a breakfast menu. And I think it's destined to be the new power broker place in town because it's early enough that you can get a parking place on the plaza. And they're not getting too fancy. It's going to be bacon and eggs. You can get biscuits and gravy. And if you're really smart, you'll get one of Meg's cinnamon rolls because those are outrageously good.
I mean, I think that's kind of the wheelhouse there is just this classic Americana. So you're going to get the classic American breakfast options there.
The cinnamon roll is supposedly like a Kansas City specialty. Mary, do you think there's anything to that?
Well, you can find them in a lot of places, some better than others, but they are all over the city.
And you like the ones at Rye in particular?
I do. And I really try to make sure I share it with other people. It covers the plate.
And the biscuits and gravy at Rye, what makes those stand out?
The biscuits are really light and fluffy. You don't walk out of there feeling like you've got a brick in your stomach. And the eggs are cooked perfectly to just make it all work really well.
So biscuits and gravy, speaking of the brick in your stomach, I feel like biscuits and gravy are some of the more polarizing breakfast options. It seems like people either love them to the point of obsession or just cannot stand the thought of them, are totally grossed out, won't touch them. Can you talk to me about the biscuit and gravy polarization?
I think the people who say they don't like it are lying. I don't
really
know how you could not like something like that. You know, as a child, that was my go-to breakfast when I went out, when we got the chance to go out for breakfast. I was such a chubby little kid. I loved biscuits and gravy. But I think it's just comfort food. It's, you know, biscuits are terrific. And then, you know, it used to be a way of using up leftovers. And now it's sort of this treat because they're just so rich.
I don't usually order biscuits and gravy. In fact, I don't think I've ever actually ordered them. I've had some off somebody else's plate because I always think, you know, there's not much healthy in there and it's going to, I'm going to be full the rest of the day. But having had them recently, I think the biscuits are so good now.
Yeah.
And the whole dish has been elevated. So I can't say that I'm not a biscuits and gravy person anymore.
And a lot of places are doing mushroom gravy in addition to sausage gravies.
Yeah, to make it more vegetarian friendly, yeah.
Let's turn to one of our callers. We've got Sherry in Lenexa. We'll be going to her in just a second at 816-235-2888. Sherry, good morning.
Good morning.
What do you want to tell us about for breakfast in Kansas City?
Well, I work in downtown Overland Park, and there are some amazing little restaurants opening up, adding to the ones that are already there that are amazing. But Ambrosia Cafe has a wonderful breakfast and lunch, and you can take carry-out food, too. But that was the one that popped into my head when we were talking about breakfast. It's
well, tell me about the breakfast there.
Well, they have omelets to order. I mean, they'll do anything for you. The chef owner and his wife, Colleen, are very customer-friendly, and it's a small place. I mean, they probably seat 25, 30 tops, but just really cozy and warm and great food, great biscuits and gravy. Like I said, almost to order. I've mostly had lunches there because it's right around the corner from our office, but it's definitely a place to check out. It's next to the new Brew Lab just north of the Farmer's Market on Marty between 79th and 80th Street.
Okay, thanks, Sherry.
You're welcome.
Sherry mentioned something that I personally think is really important in a breakfast place, and maybe more important to a breakfast place even than other kinds of than during other meals at restaurants, and that is the atmosphere. I feel like breakfast has unique atmosphere kind of demands. The coziness that she mentions really makes me think of that. Like, there's something about that morning meal, you know, you don't...
It's true. You don't want it too fast-paced because you're kind of still waking up, but at the same time, you kind of got to get going. So, yeah, that's true. It's true.
And I do find, with the exception of Messenger Coffee, which is a huge spot, most of the places I gravitate toward are smaller, cozier places.
Yeah, like Genesee Royale or Happy Gillis. Those two are very homey spaces.
Well, let's get those reviews now then, because you're both recommending both Genesee Royale and Happy Gillis, and then we'll turn back to our callers at 816-235-2888. Mary, tell me about Genesee Royale. You order a few different things there.
I do. And their menu changes constantly, which is one of the reasons I like it so much. But I'm not a traditional breakfast girl. I don't like to just have bacon and eggs or an omelet. I like the more interesting dishes. And I'm
partial creative breakfast.
Yes. And my favorite place in the world, I think, to eat breakfast is in Santa Fe, because I love the green and red chilies and I like the Mexican breakfast. And Genesee Royale does a lot. Each menu has one Mexican dish on it. And so they rotate, and that's usually the one I get. They often have huevos rancheros, sometimes migas, which are scrambled eggs with tortilla chips and black beans and salsa.
Kind of cooked into the scrambled eggs.
Yes, exactly. And right now they've got scrambled eggs with potatoes and salsa, and they always have hot sauce that you can add.
Bonjwing, what are your thoughts about Genesee Royale as a breakfast place?
I love it. I think a little different from Mary. I do appreciate the creative breakfast. I kind of like the all-American breakfast. I like a breakfast that commits, you know, like just commits and does the standards. And Genesee Royale does that as well, very well. And I think you'll find that at Happy Gillis as well. Just very standard breakfast items. Sometimes they'll do some creative things, but they also have biscuits on the gravy. I've seen biscuits on the and gravy on the menu at Genesee Royale as well. So they also do very standard things as well.
And Happy Gillis, Mary, what do you get there?
You know, that's another place where the menu changes a lot. They have a really good veggie hash. I like their sandwiches. They have an egg sandwich, and it varies what's on it, bacon, cheese.
Can I interrupt you just to ask, what exactly is hash? I mean, I've eaten it, but I'm not sure what it is.
Traditionally, it would be chopped up potatoes, onions, veggies that have been cooked in a skillet and really browned and crispy. And then you add an egg. Sometimes there's meat in it as well.
So whatever you prepare in that manner, you would call a hash. So you can have corned beef hash, which would be like the maybe traditional one, but right. Veggie hash just substitutes veggies.
Exactly.
But there's also, you know, hash browns. I think it's like a browned potato dish primarily.
Exactly. The other dish I love, it's not on the menu right now, but Josh Ians, who owns it. Happy Gillis does this great, he does a really nice job with grits. And at one point he was doing a pig shank with grits and a poached or fried egg with corn nuts. And I remember those from my childhood. And the first time I saw that, I thought, what? And it was
Did you try it?
Oh, I did. I loved it. I've had it several times since. It was just a fun, creative twist.
I've had that too. It's delicious. Yeah. It's sort of like a polenta porridge. It's very comforting and warm. And then, you know, you get the softness of the polenta, but then you also have these little crunchy corn nuts in there.
Do you think that breakfast is becoming more sort of like receptive to creativity? That didn't used to be a word that I would have associated with really any breakfast.
I do. I think chefs are finding that they can be very creative at breakfast.
And I think it's also the sort of the influence of international cuisine on America now. You know, that breakfast doesn't have to be just eggs and bread and bacon.
There are other ways of doing it.
Like Asians like to eat rice porridge or soups or noodles for breakfast. And, you know, as Mary pointed out, there's Mexican cuisine influence here in the United States as well, where you get things like migas or chilaquiles or something that's not maybe traditional to American breakfast that now has become popular because it's just delicious.
You know, another place that has great hash is Succotash. And they say they serve brunch all day every day. But, you know, it opens at 8, so you can, I think we can consider that breakfast. But they do a Cuban pork hash that is fabulous, and it's got like cottage fry type of potatoes, thin, crisp potatoes, fabulous pork that they use later in the day on their Cubans, and egg, black beans. I love it.
Man, okay, now we're really going, because now is when you are making my mouth water, Mary. So, okay, good job. Let's talk to Nate in Kansas City. Hi, Nate.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not too bad.
Where do you like to go for breakfast?
I'm a big fan of the new Cafe Europa in Union Hill.
Talk to me about it. What do you get there?
I like the bodega egg sandwich. It's kind of, you know, it's pretty simple, but, you know, it's like an egg and bacon sandwich that they do on, like, house-made English muffins. And it's just, you know, it's simple, but it's really nice. You know, they serve with potatoes or salad or, you know, whatever. But the, you know, the house-made muffin, I think, is kind of what makes it.
What's the atmosphere like there? Does it have a nice breakfast scene, kind of?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a new spot. I think they opened last year. It's a little more modern than their Crestwood location. But, yeah, I mean, it's a beautiful spot. I mean, it's a good atmosphere, and they have you know, house-made croissants and stuff in the morning, so you can kind of grab and go if you want to or sit down. You guys were mentioning like porridge. I think they have a porridge on their menu, and they switch it up. You know, sometimes they'll have chilaquiles and stuff.
Well, cool. Thanks, Nate.
Yeah.
So that's Cafe Europa at Union Hill. Do you think that the menu different there from the Crestwood location?
It is slightly different.
The Crestwood location is not open for breakfast.
Okay, well, that would certainly be a big difference. Let's talk to Joel in Kansas City. Hi, Joel.
Hey there, how are you?
Good.
Listening to all this food talk.
Yeah.
I live very close to the crossroads, and there's a little spot called Mildred's in the crossroads. Very tiny little place, but they steam their scrambled eggs, and they make these amazing breakfast sandwiches with these very light and fluffy scrambled eggs that have been steamed.
I have not heard of steamed scrambled eggs. That's kind of wild.
Not either. And now I do it at home because I like it so much because they're just so light and fluffy. And they have great baked goods and amazing quiches and just a great experience. It's just a cozy little spot right there in the crossroads, and you can get in and out very easily.
Well, thanks, Joel. He's recommending Mildred's Cafe in the crossroads. We've talked about a couple of coffee shop breakfasts. Any other coffee shop breakfasts that we haven't mentioned that should get a shout out?
You know, Second Best Coffee, which is over at 85th and Warnell, I think, it's in that area. They sell breakfast burritos there. And they have a number of ones. I think traditionally they have one that's chorizo. They also have one that's a curried cauliflower one, I think, that's more of a vegetarian option. And breakfast burritos are kind of taking off now. I've seen them around town at a couple of coffee shops.
Wow. Crow's Coffee and also Nomads on 39th have food, including the burrito.
More breakfast burritos and such when we get back. I should not have skipped breakfast this morning. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we will be getting right back to our search for the best breakfasts in town. Call 816-235-2888 with your favorite thing to order. Tell us who does it best, or if there's a breakfast item you have not found made to your satisfaction, maybe our critics can help. 816-235-2888. We're back. I'm Gina Kaufman. This is KCUR's Central Standard, and the food critics are here talking about breakfast. Mary Block, Bonjwing Lee, good morning.
Good morning.
We are going to get right back to eggs and coffee and breakfast burritos and crazy toasts in just a second. But Mary, there is a lot of buzz about a new place coming to town.
Yes, Shake Shack. And I'm excited about that because Danny Meyer, who is the founder, grew up in St. Louis, and I was really good friends with his sister. So he and I have kept in touch over the years. He's a great guy. And when they opened the location in St. Louis, I emailed him and I said, "So Danny, when are you coming to Kansas City?" And he said, he was very coy. It wasn't very long ago, and obviously this was in the works. And he said, "Well, let's just see how the St. Louis one goes first."
Well, what is the fuss about?
You know, Shake Shack has a cult following, and it's fast food burgers, but they're done properly, quality meat, great shakes. And it started as a food cart and then a stand in Madison Square Park years ago. Now it's up to over 130 locations in six countries. It's in airports, it's in stadiums, and it's rare when you can walk into a Shake Shack and there's no line.
Well, so, okay, the burger chain with the cult following is coming to Kansas City. We will have to keep our eye on that. But let's hear a little bit more from our callers about breakfast at 816-235-2888. Let's chat with Catherine in North Kansas City. Hi, Catherine.
Hey.
Where do you go and what do you get for breakfast?
I really like Kate's Kitchen up in Gladstone.
I'm sorry, what is it called?
And Kate's Kitchen.
Pete's Kitchen?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tell us about it.
Any of their omelets, I would recommend. My favorites, I think it's called the Kitchen Sink. It's just loaded with everything.
Everything meaning?
You name it, like it's got the mushrooms, the peppers.
And so you're recommending Pete's Kitchen. What's the space like? I mean, for people who haven't been there, what's the place like?
It just feels like a regular breakfast restaurant to me. I don't know how to describe it.
Kind of old-fashioned breakfast restaurant?
Everybody's real nice. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that sounds cool. Thanks, Catherine.
Yep.
So that sounds like kind of, she's talking about the kitchen sink idea, which is the super like stick to your ribs type breakfast with a bunch of stuff thrown on it. Is there another place that does that type of thing that you think does it really well?
The Corner Cafe up in North Kansas City.
Oh yeah.
That's, you know, a traditional breakfast with everything.
That's in Riverside, right?
Riverside.
Riverside,
yeah.
Not North Kansas City. Yeah.
Yeah.
And let's talk with Matthew in Lee's Summit. Hi, Matthew.
Hi.
Where do you go? What do you get?
My favorite place to go for breakfast is USA Tomato. It's actually just like a block or two south of Succotash. And when I go there, I always get the corned beef hash. Like home style hash, browned over potatoes. They hand make it every day there. They don't make the corned beef there, but it's still pretty fresh corned beef. It's a nice scrambled eggs topped with chives there. The atmosphere is kind of, I don't want to say hipster, but it's very like mismatched chairs, mismatched tables. They have a small house food and fresh vegetable store that you can buy there, and they sell gigantic cinnamon buns there as well.
Back to the cinnamon buns. Well, thank you, Matthew, for that recommendation. Matthew's recommending USA Tomato. And, okay, so Mary, he mentioned also corned beef hash. I don't mean to get back to this whole hash thing, but you're recommending a corned beef hash at room 39.
I am. Ted Habiger, you know, that is a really great restaurant, wonderful quality. And the breakfasts are very nice, cozy. It feels different during the day than at night. I don't think they have the tablecloths on the table. And they have a really nice breakfast menu, everything from corned beef hash to breakfast burritos. If you like quiche, they're, you know, I think they're probably 3 or 4 inches high. It's a really wonderful quiche.
And this is the room 39, the original room 39.
The original one, yeah, on 39th
Yeah, I don't
Street.
Think the Leawood one serves breakfast, does it?
I'm not sure. I kind of doubt it. But this place is also has a nice following.
So you are recommending there not just the corned beef hash, but also the breakfast burrito and the quiche. Tell me about the breakfast burrito, as long as we're saying that's an important trend.
You know, it usually has scrambled eggs and potatoes, sometimes beans, and then some salsa and sour cream on the side. It's not one of those that's covered in a salsa verde or anything, but they do serve it with salsa.
Bondring, tell me about Heirloom.
Heirloom is a bakery over in Brookside, and it's, again, it's mostly baked goods, but they, what I love there is they do great biscuits, speaking of biscuits again. And you can get a biscuit sandwich, and they have options. You basically can pick what you want in it. And what I love is I love putting eggs, bacon, and pesto. Their pesto is great, and they just make great biscuit sandwiches there.
And so anything else you want to recommend from there? Is that the thing you get?
That's the
when
thing
you
I get,
there?
But they make a lot of other things. You know, they have breads and they have you know, pastry, morning pastries as well, and coffee.
They have homemade Pop-Tarts, which are quite a bit better. Sorry, Post and General Mills, but they are homemade and pretty darn good.
Let's talk to Susie in Warrensburg. Hi, Susie.
Hi, how are you all?
Good. What about you?
Good. So great. I just had an amazing vegan galette from Mud Pie Vegan Bakery on 95th Street. And I have not tried it before. I've had some of their sweet things, but this was so amazing. The crust is really flaky and buttery, you might call it. And it was a tomato spinach galette with some walnut cheese. And it was this lovely blend of sweet and savory, because the sweetness of the roasted tomatoes and then the yummy kind of creaminess of the walnut cheese. It was really just surprisingly delicious.
That does sound good. And you were saying, are you a vegan?
I am. Yep. I eat a vegan diet. Yep.
Are there other vegan breakfasts in town that you would recommend?
You know, since I don't live in Kansas City anymore, I'm not as familiar, but I have to say I'm really excited. There's one, I know you were just talking about places on Troost, and I got in late. Did you talk about the Happy Apple that's coming to Troost?
No, I don't know anything about it.
Yeah, it's a brand new place. I wish I could remember where along Troost, but they have a Facebook page, but it's going to be an all vegan, you know, plant-based place called Happy Apple, and I'm super excited to try it.
Okay, well, thanks, Susie.
Yeah, thank you.
Let's talk to Lily in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Lily.
Hi. I just wanted to tell you about Classic Cookie, which is in Waldo. It's just like a small family-owned restaurant. It's a bakery, so they make cookies and all kinds of good pastries. But what we like to get there is a breakfast casserole, and it's potatoes, some sweet peppers, and onions, like veggies cooked in with cheese and poached egg on top. And it's really good.
A breakfast casserole. That is also kind of a popular dish, isn't it?
Yeah, and the one she described sounds a little bit like hash, actually. Potatoes and eggs. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Mary, tell me about the Nirvana breakfast at Exwa.
Well, it goes back to our earlier discussion about toast being a big thing. And this just feels like a really healthy breakfast. They take a piece of toast and they put avocado on it, and then sautéed kale and spinach and a perfectly cooked poached egg on top. And, you know, you cut into it and it gets all runny, and it's a really nice way to start the day.
So it's a tartine.
It is. It's a tartine.
So, you know, there's a style that we're all ordering, it sounds like, from the, like, eggs and savory side of the breakfast menu. There are all kinds of other popular breakfast
things. Oh, there
things,
are.
Like
we
the
have
yogurt
one of my
parfaits. And
yeah, there are those. And one of my favorite things for breakfast, which we haven't talked about, are waffles.
Tell me about where you get waffles.
Well, I haven't. If you guys can recommend somewhere to get waffles, I'd love to know, because I love those thick Belgian waffles, and I prefer them a little crunchy. You know, I like a little bit of a crust on it.
So is there, in your travels, is this something that you find in other places that you haven't found to your satisfaction here?
I found it, and I've also found not sweet waffles, but I found waffles with, you know, cheese and bacon on it or eggs on it. They're fried chicken and waffles for breakfast sometimes. But I haven't found a waffle. I haven't seen a waffle on a menu here for a while.
Well, if there's just a little time left, but maybe one of our callers will recommend a waffle to Bonjwing at 816-235-2888. Mary, do you have a recommendation?
The only one I can think of offhand is at Boulevard Tavern, but that's brunch, not breakfast.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll see them on brunch menus,
yeah,
but not breakfast.
Especially with fried chicken on top.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk to Emily in the River Market. Hi, Emily.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm well, thanks.
What do you want to recommend?
Well, I have two places that I really love to go. I love Sasha's Bakery, which is down in it's near Commerce Tower, right on the streetcar line. And they make excellent breakfast sandwiches and have amazing coffee.
Okay, when you say excellent breakfast sandwiches, describe it a little more.
Well, they make all their bread in-house and all their baked goods, and it's just thick. You can create the sandwich that you want. I like it that it has greens on it. It's just a really nice break. I usually don't eat breakfast Monday through Friday, but on the weekends, go out to brunch a lot, and that's a great place. And I don't think people really know about it.
So that's Sasha's Bakery.
Sasha's Bakery. And the other one that I go to often is a farm-to-table. They source from local vendors. It's the Homesteader Cafe. It's up at, I think, 7th and Walnut. It's right above the hill from the River Market. And it's a husband-wife team that run that, Jeremy and Megan, and she does all the baking. They make all their food in-house. It's delicious. I love their sweet potato hash and their cinnamon rolls. Excellent.
Well, thanks. Thanks for those recommendations. That's Sasha's Bakery and Homesteader Cafe. We are getting some calls about waffles, and so I'm going to go ahead and talk to Alexis in Kansas City. Alexis, what can you share with Bonjwing?
Hi. So I love Pirate's Bone, which is just a little bit outside of Brookside, and they have a really good activated charcoal waffle that's a vegan coffee shop, and so all the food they make there is vegan, and it's really, really good.
So what is an activated charcoal waffle?
So they add activated charcoal. So the waffle is actually black. So it looks a little funky, but it's really, really good.
And what do they serve it with?
They serve it with like berries and a couple compotes. It's really good.
All right. Thanks, Alexis.
Thanks.
Okay, we have time for one last very quick call, and I'm going to go to Larry and Lawrence because I feel like Lawrence has a growing breakfast scene. Larry, we don't have much time, so go quick, but what do you get in Lawrence?
Okay, the Lady Bird Diner downtown Lawrence has an amazing chicken fried steak breakfast. It's real crispy hash browns, chicken fried steak, and it's smothered in a really interesting sweet and savory gravy. And then two eggs and style on the side. It's wonderful. And they also have three egg omelets, including one that's kind of unusual called the mac and cheese omelet. So, and it's a real unusual vibe in that diner. Some very cool people and a great place to hang out.
Well, thanks, Larry. Do you guys have that same impression that Lawrence's breakfast scene is growing?
Yeah, I think it's a college town and that makes sense. And the breakfast that Larry described sounds like it's a commitment. You commit.
Yeah, that's right.
I've been to Lady Bird Diner before, just not breakfast, but yeah.
It's a little comfort food with your comfort food.
Exactly.
Well, our time is up. Mary Block, Bonjwing Lee, thank you both so much.
Thank you.
Mary blogs about food at Around the Block, and Bonjwing is an international food photographer known online as the Ulterior Epicure. You can get our list of the best breakfasts in Kansas City at kcur.org/centralstandard. We'll have it ready for you in time for the weekend. And if you follow KCUR on Twitter or Facebook, you will see it in your feed. It is the weekend, but if you missed any of our shows this week, you can listen back at kcur.org anytime. Yesterday's conversation about Minnesota wanting to break off from the Midwest was a really fun one. So check that out, kcur.org/centralstandard. They want to call themselves the North.
KCOR Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton, Sylvia Maria Gross, Jen Chen, Coy Duggar, and Suzanne Hogan, with help from intern Matt Groby. Linda Scher and Michael Byers ran the board for us this week. Our theme music is by Spoonbender Labs right here in Kansas City. I'm Gina Kaufman. Have a great weekend.